For more information, call 511, the call center at 502-7382, 502-7382. Visit www.bahamas.gov.bs/health or covid19.gov.bs or email us at covid19@bahamas.gov.bs.
This message brought to you by Bahamas Ministry of Health in conjunction with Guardian Radio.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Revolution with Warren McCartney is brought to you in part by Lawrence Electric Motors, Commonwealth Bank, Marlin Marine, Floral Fantasia, Fidelity Bank, Popeyes, Janae's Uniform Center, and Burger King.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney, so good to have you with us. I want to let you know that Floral Fantasia on Mount Royal Avenue is now fully reopened for walk-in and phone-in business, as well as pickup and deliveries. Floral Fantasia offers a full array of floral arrangements, fresh and silk flowers, and gift baskets for all occasions and events. Visit their website at fantasiaflorist.com. Call Floral Fantasia today to place your order. That's number 137 Mount Royal Avenue and Ludlow Street. The phone number is 328-8655, 328-8655. 376-7313 is the WhatsApp, 376-7313 for Floral Fantasia. This says, Juan, you're late already. Listen to me, playa. Give thanks, right? Because only the power of Christ compelled me to come in here today, because I wrestled long and hard over the past 6 or so hours as to if I was going to come here today. So, you know what I mean? Let's not, don't push it, is all I'm saying. I had to be here. So just, you know, be thankful. This all came so close to not happening, right? You were moments away from a replay. So let's just keep it pushing, right? That's all. Today we're going to talk about several issues. We're going to talk about NIB. I'm going to have the director of NIB and senior manager, Pandora Butler, and Dr. Nicola Virgil Roll from NIB, really going to join me to explain all the new things that are going on with NIB that you guys ask me about every day as if I write the NIB rules. So we're going to talk to them, and we're also going to talk about some other issues. This is one: if national COVID health protocols were breached by the Mexican workers in Abaco, the Minister of Health has to publicly explain why, accept responsibility, and then resign, just like Dr. Sands had to. We have to stop making excuses for Dr. Minnis. Listen. The issue with the Mexican worker, first of all, I don't know where y'all been. Like, maybe seeing Mexicans in person kind of threw y'all off, right? They have said since September that they were bringing these workers in. I don't know where y'all been. Nah. Do I like the fact that the Mexican workers are here? No. But these Mexican workers reportedly repaired some of the owners of Baker's Bay's properties in Panama and Mexico when they had previous storms, because a lot of these houses are built like just near the sand and the shore and all this stuff, and they're specialized workers, so they say. And so they brought them in, right? This is, I knew they were coming, Remember the owner of Baker's Bay had talked to Ellsworth Johnson. Ellsworth Johnson said they were looking at 500 work permits. They submitted to Cabinet a request for 500. Cabinet told them they could have 300, and the rest of the workers had to be Bahamian. They're doing a $400 million rebuild. And they've said this not once, not twice, but many times. The Prime Minister just said it in the House of Assembly during, I believe it was during the budget debate, or I think it was when he closed out the budget debate. He just said that they were going to bring in foreign workers. He said, however, that the complement of staff they had currently was 80% Bahamian before these 130 Mexican workers. So do I love that the Mexicans are here? They reportedly possess special skills. No. But I don't, I'm not going to act like they snuck it in during the dark of night and someone just, it was a gotcha. They had said, if you were paying attention, which a lot of y'all weren't, that they were bringing foreign workers in. All right. That they're here is, you know, a thing. Here's what's troubling to me. It is troubling to me that when I asked the people who, see, because we had they had the press conference yesterday, and I said, well, ask them about the Mexican workers. I said, I want to see something, right? If I run the airport, right? If I run the Ministry of Health, there's a protocol. You can't get on the plane without the certificate I issue you. Yes? That's the protocol, bar none, right? Unless it's an extremely special circumstance. So if I ask you, did the Mexican workers have COVID-19 tests? And you run the Ministry of Health that issues these certificates, the visa for you to come, what's the answer? Yes, of course. They wouldn't. How could they be at the airport if they didn't have a COVID-19 test? And so we just wanted to see what they would say. And when they go, I don't know, it's like, what? you don't know? This is like the department. Remember the Labor Department was saying, well, we're not sure how many Chinese. What? Don't you issue the work permit? How do you not know how many of them are here? So you're the Ministry of Health, and you're letting people in, and you can't even answer me if they had it. Your answer should have been automatic. Of course they have it. Of course. Why would we allow 100 and something people in without, you know what I mean? And they just go, we have to check. I'm like, what, you got to check what? They shouldn't be able to, no one should be at that airport, is my understanding, who's not a Bahamian, without the travel visa, without the health visa. Nobody. You should automatically be able to say, of course they have negative test results. Everyone does. We have proof of it, because you have to submit the proof of the negative test result to get the health visa. So it's wildly disturbing to me that there could be any doubt that they have negative test results. The test results are negative. We saw proof of the negative test results. And we spoke to the director of environmental services at Baker's Bay. And he confirmed that, of course, they have negative test results. They provided them for them. Because I was interested to know, because they don't test like that in Mexico City. And it's hard to get the tests in Mexico. But clearly, Baker's Bay has papered up when they sent them the test. You know what I mean? And these guys, reportedly from the same company, helped fix their properties over there. All right? Now, should we have a broader national discussion about skills and foreign labor and how we need to structure these foreign direct investments to have a transfer of skills so that we as Bahamians possess those skills in abundant numbers to have no excuse for the foreign developers to bring in foreigners to do jobs that Bahamians should be able to do? Yes. But that's a different discussion than just this here. So this here, and I'm sorry, I know you want me to conduct your outrage party, right? But they had said repeatedly that they were bringing these people in. Ellsworth Johnson came and sat on this show and said that they were looking at bringing people in for Baker's Bay specifically. Now, Baker's Bay is supposed to do some things like build homes in Abaco. We have to make sure that they're following their commitments. But I can't, I mean, I was, when everyone was swirling around and in hot, in a wild fervor about the Mexicans, I was like, but they said they was bringing the Mexicans. Like, what you know what I mean? Now, if you say the Mexicans fall outside the remit of your work complement, then that's that you would agree to with the heads of agreement, then that's a different issue, right? And so, and if you make a cabinet decision that that's, we're going to go outside the heads of agreement, then you should explain that from a cabinet point of view. Absolutely. Right. But if the Mexicans are in the work complement and they're going to do the Bahamians, then sure. But somebody's got to be paying attention. Right. I have no faith. Sorry, John Pinder Dion folks. I have no faith that you guys are going to properly maintain oversight of the levels of foreign workers at Baker's Bay. You couldn't do it right downtown. Right. But I have zero faith that you're able to do it. All right, so that's where you're. That's where I'm at with the Baker's Bay thing, right? I mean, they said it like 10 times, so I don't know where everybody was, but this was a thing that had been articulated quite clearly. Now, I hear a lot of. Well, Bahamians are lazy, right? Nah, watch your mouth. I'm a Bahamian, and I'm assuming you are too. So watch your mouth. Some Bahamians are lazy. Some Bahamians are unskilled. But some Bahamians are damn hard workers, like me, like my brother Dudley, who helped repair my house and build a kitchen on my house, right? Some Bahamians are lazy. Other Bahamians are outstanding, such as myself, right? So watch them out when you talk about Bahamians being lazy. Are there lazy people out there? For sure. Could you have a better work ethic? For sure. Could customer service be better? For sure. Right? But this blanket, Bahamian-ness, I don't do that. All right, we need more skilled Bahamians. We're going to be able to pick up these jobs that they say the foreigners can't do. But they were trying to bring these people in since Dorian, right? And clearly, I believe they said they were waiting on cabinet to give them the go-ahead. And then the borders closed for several months, and as first opportunity they had, they brought them here. All right, so I got to say, I can't roll with you on this flailing about, like the time for that has passed. I guess seeing the Mexicans in the flesh was like, whoa, right? Like you say it, oh, the Chinese come in, and then you go, oh, okay, that's fine. Then you see the Chinese, like, oh, you mean they was coming. They give you hell. Wasn't just abstract, right? Now, that being said, the government does have to be creative and work smart to get Bahamians back to work. And that's when Peter Turnquest was here, and I was like, I was looking for this works plan where Bahamians are going to say, well, okay, the jobs are coming. And he proceeded to tell me, well, you heard about the schools and the airports and all this and all that. And I go, you know, are the Bahamians really going to build the airport? Yeah, right? Are the Bahamians really going to be building all the schools? Is that, you know what I mean? Like, where's the structured, numbered, like, plan for that? You know what I mean? So, that's where I am with that. All right, we're going to talk to the NIB, and we'll get back to these issues with Baker's Bay. We can talk about it all you want. It's just that. Right. So someone says, if you think a lazy Bahamian bad, you don't want to see a lazy Mexican. Well, this is the point, right? So all Bahamians aren't lazy. All Mexicans aren't lazy. There are some lazy Mexicans. There are some hardworking Mexicans. There are some lazy Haitians. There's just lazy people. Some people are lazy, right? We're just people. We're not a special brand of stupid. I do believe we're the worst drivers on the planet. But, but you know, it is what it is, right? Everybody's bad at something, right? Our thing's just driving. Are we breaking or are we going to NIB? We're going to break or take a break and we come back to NIB.
At At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them 242-356-0249.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Marlin Marine is going digital to better serve you. Check out our digital showroom at marlin-marine.com or visit our Facebook page and select shop to view our stock, speak with a sales agent, or request a quote. Be prepared this hurricane season with our lineup of Generac portable and standby generators. Our diesel and LP standby generators give you clean, uninterrupted power, while our portable generators provide convenient power where you need it, keeping you connected no matter the conditions. Find the Generac that best suits you. Contact Marlin Marine today and our sales agents will be sure to help. Call 393-7873, visit marlin-marine.com, and follow our social media pages to stay updated on our latest products. When the power cuts out, Generac steps in. So get your Generac generator today at Marlin Marine, giving you power on land and sea.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We're going to be talking about, we can talk about Baker's Bay all you want on the other side of the news, but right now, since every single day, I kid you not, every single day, a minimum of three people ask me what is going on with NIB. And I got a news flash for you. I don't work for NIB, right? So the best I can do, and I certainly not going through the hundreds of pages of NIB rules and regulations. So the best I can do for you is get the director of NIB on the phone and the senior manager at NIB on the phone to explain to you and to me what is happening with NIB, in particular with the new wage ceiling, with the new old age pension increase, and is that translate to disability, and also with the unemployment benefit re-up, if for lack of a better word. So joining me today is Dr. Nicola Virgil Roll, who's the director of NIB, and Pandora Butler, who's the senior manager at NIB. Ladies, good afternoon. Thanks for joining me.
Good afternoon, Juan. Good afternoon, Bahamas.
Okay, so let's start off the top. Let's talk unemployment benefit. It is now continued for 13 weeks. That's explain the rest of it to me from there.
Yes. So the government has realized, given the delayed and reopening of the economy and the fact that many employed persons remain unemployed, that you know, it was important to provide income support, continued income support for those individuals. And so after, you know, it's known that NIB's unemployment benefit lasts for 13 weeks, up to 13 weeks in a 52-week period. And so as many of, you know, persons would have maxed out at coming up to this week and into next month as well, the government has offered an extension. It is a flat amount of $150 per week. The typical unemployment benefit is based on 50% of the wages up to your insured weekly wage. But this one is a flat amount to provide just some additional support up to 13 weeks. It also does a number of other things. For example, it's a number of individuals would not have been covered under NIB given our contribution rules. So you found a lot of young people who were, did not have the 52 weeks of contributions. They were disallowed in our process because, of course, as a contributory fund, you have to meet certain contribution tests. And so with this extension, the government will be allowing those individuals who are under the age of 35 who did not meet our contributions test for an NIB benefit to benefit also from this assistance. We've also continued the self-employed government assistance program for the tourism sector, which remains largely still closed. And then also we've continued payments to persons who would have been on the unemployed as a result of Dorian. So you'd recall that the government offered 13 additional weeks to those persons as well. And so we began to use that for many Grand Bahamians, Abaconians as well over the course of the period who would have exhausted the first 13 weeks after Dorian. And then we also extended for another 13 weeks as well. And so we've been trying to provide as much income support to individuals as was mentioned in a recent release. We have supported upwards of 34, it's probably closer to 35,000 Bahamians in our process. That's nearly about 3 years worth of what we normally see in normal times, and expended well over $60 million in benefit payments to individuals to help them through this tough time. We're looking to continue our payout so that people get the 13 weeks. And as soon as possible, and so we're continuing to make our payment batches to enable that to happen and get that out as efficiently as possible. We've opened up a new email address called UEB Resolution, where we've put a team together to really get to those people who are saying to us that, you know, we've put in our claim and we haven't heard from you. Our claim hasn't been adjudicated. We want to see what's happened there, where that claim is, if any documents needed to be submitted, if we need to go to your employer, all of that so that we can get those claims processed. And because it is, at this point, you're not going to lose any time. Once that claim is in on time, you will be eligible still for whatever your eligibility was, up to the 13 weeks.
Okay, so let me ask you this. So it's continuing for all the unemployment schemes that were going on. Let me ask you this. When do you start payment of this?
So the new tranche, we're going to begin payments around the 17th of July. We obviously want to close out our old tranche, the initial 13 weeks. We've also been getting in lots of return to work, which is always good to see. And so we are just closing those out so that we understand when people have returned to work, and we pay them up until that period of time. And so that's a manual process for us, and it's a massive, again, because of the number of people who were out of work in the first place, and now we're glad to see so many people returning to work. And so we're putting that into the system so that we can stop the benefits, and then we will have a clean slate come in the second week of July in order to focus on those new payments.
Okay. Now, you pay biweekly or weekly with the new tranche?
We're paying twice a month, so biweekly.
Twice a month.
We'll have set days where we're paying that out for you.
Now, you said that you'd assisted 35,000 people, upwards of 35,000 people. How many people are still left to get paid from the first tranche?
From the first tranche, we're looking at our system, and we're seeing in the low hundreds, really. And so that's why we and some of those have recently come in to our system. And so, we have really, I think, processed what we feel is the majority of persons. Now, what we saw was, we follow the social media, we understand complaints, and so we put out a statement because we saw that some persons in our system were suspended. Under normal rules of NIB, every 4 weeks, you go and you verify at the Department of Labor, and you bring in your B81, and we look at that for you. And so there have been a number of those which have been suspended. And so we have worked with our IT vendor in order to lift those suspensions versus doing them one by one, because that's a lot of people to clear. And in some cases, unfortunately, persons have not been able to get to the Department of Labor, but we feel reasonably comfortable that their industries are still closed, they're still unemployed.
Okay, let me ask you this. People are telling me that they've gotten emails that say that payment's been sent to the bank, but it's days later, and they still don't see the payment in the bank. How does that happen?
Right. So there's a couple things happening. As we explained before, we've had to pay in innovative ways in order to make this work. And so you have payments we have a group of payments that were paid strictly through our IT system, our V3 system. Those process is normal, and a few days after the payments, the notification, you'll see a payment. It goes through our main clearing bank, and then it goes to your account. We have a number of other payments as well that because we used batch payments and certain sort of computer scripts to pay them, even though they are saying that they're processed via check payments, and so the customer will get another notification as to pick up a check at a particular location. And so some people are getting those as well. But we also saw, and this was something we have spoken about probably from day one, and we knew it was a challenge, that many bank accounts were incorrect. And so the routing numbers may have been off. And so we have teams in our accounts department who are tracking down those payments. And so once you notify us that we can see in our system when a payment went. We know that it went. We know the account it went to. And if you're telling us still, I don't see that payment through this new email address, UEB resolution, we're going to track that payment down to see if the bank has returned it to us. And if so, we have to issue a check to resolve your matter.
Okay, so you said that you are dealing with the people who would qualify for the unemployment benefit. You're dealing with the government assistance program for those who lost their jobs in the tourism sector, and you're also dealing with the benefit or the program assistance for those who suffered as a result of Dorian, right?
Yes, we still deal with Dorian, and also we deal with self-employed as well. So those have been people not eligible for NIB payments because self-employed did not pay the 1% for the unemployment
right.
benefit, but the government, again, saw fit to offer an assistance program for self-employed people in the tourism sector, and then self-employed people affected by the government shutdown. And so that also is another program we administer.
All right, so I got a question for you from a listener. It says, hi, Juan, could you please have her speak more to the Grand Bahama Dorian 13-week extension and what's being done to rectify where payments were issued in error but not collected? I was informed that this is holding up claims for those who had to be furloughed due to COVID-19.
Okay, well, we have a number of Dorian payments that were just not collected. And so what we've just asked for those who are were Dorian survivors who are eligible for those payments, come in. The checks are there, we will lift any suspensions that need to be on those checks. But once we know, we have a team member in New Providence who works with our team members in Abaco and Grand Bahama in order to process those payments, because we at the very beginning of the Dorian extension, we were able to process those payments. And so they are there. But what we found is, and we had, you would have seen, two of our managers, Pandora was one of those who appeared on a news cast. We had a whole setup for Dorian persons to come and collect and do that, but we didn't get as much uptake as we expected. And so for those, we're just asking them to come in and collect. If they remained unemployed, the checks that were there for them, and we verify the periods that you were unemployed, and once those checks continue to reflect that period, we give you that check. And if we have to reprint those checks because maybe you went back to work prior to this and hadn't notified us, we would reprint those checks for you.
Wow. Okay. Gee. So I want you to listen to this, and then I want you to we'll talk about that email address you said. This says, Juan, I'm one of those people who submitted my application in March 26th, and to date I've not received a single payment. I've emailed NIB, and I've WhatsApped them, all to no avail. All they say is that my application is being processed. I have two kids and have been relying heavily on familial support to meet my expenses. Please ask Dr. Virgil, what am I to do?
Okay. So I'm asking that that caller to please email into our new site. We have a group of persons, and we're dedicating you know, the next few days, the weekend included, to work with your cases. We found a lot of situations. This was a very revealing exercise for us, you know, we had situations where you know, I'll deal with things that were NIB's fault at first, where contributions were not posted, and we had to post those contributions. We also had situations, and a large number of them, where contributions or statements were not filed with us. That is an offense. They were not filed, and so we had to therefore go out. Our inspectors had to contact employers, many of whom are closed, in order to get those statements. We found also employers, which we call batch paying. So knowing that now your employees were laid off, you may have paid up several months of arrears.
Right.
And so you paid up 8 months, 9 months, I've seen a year. And we then had to input that into our system, which took time. So we had a lot of work in our contributions postings to do in order to catch up, in order to make your claim eligible. And so recognizing that, we took some workarounds in order to grab anybody who had a C-10 payment in submitted in. We were able to batch pay them and get those payments out. And we continue to look for those companies and the employees of those companies where we see C-10s in place but not yet posted, so that we can batch pay you. And so we'd have to understand that particular circumstance. But once we see the circumstance, we get on that. And in many cases, we have to call the employer, or where we do have the C-10, we expedite the posting of that C-10.
Okay. So, and just for clarity, because I get this a lot, people are wondering if businesses are able to apply, small business owners are able to apply for the assistance. And the answer would be yes, correct?
For no.
Like, not the business, but the person who owns the business,
right?
They would be able to apply as well, yes?
No.
No?
No, not if they have employees.
Really?
That they would have to use the Small Business Development Center.
Even on a personal level?
Well, you know, I would say it depends. You have to look at how the business is registered, whether they were employees, for example, were they paying UEB on themselves, for example, and sometimes that occur. I mean, were they paying contributions for themselves?
Mm.
You see that happen as well. So I think one of the takeaways from this as well is it's very good to formalize your business and so that, you know, you are also paid on the rolls of your business as well.
All right. So there's a million questions about the unemployment benefit. Repeat, please, the email address so people can get in gear.
So we have UEB resolution. You would have seen the Ministry of Finance in its release published that as well. And then also NIB on its website, we have that there. We have, we're up almost up to 250 emails now. So we're continuing to answer those. So UEB resolution. So we want to give you a good resolution.
Okay, let's slow that down a second because that's hard to catch. So it's UEB. Resolution or resolutions?
Yes. Resolution.
UE Ultra Echo Bravo resolution at
nib-bahamas.com.
nib-bahamas.com.
Yes.
All right. UEB. Let me write it down too. Resolution. All right. At nib-bahamas.com. Gotcha. All right. So, let me, and like I said, there's a million questions, so you're going to have to direct a lot of those questions to NIB because we only have limited time here. I want you to please explain to me what the new wage, because the question I get every day is, are we going to have to pay more to NIB? So again, please explain what the new wage ceiling adjustment means, and then you could briefly explain what's happening with the pension.
Okay. So we'll give that to Pandora, because we're excited about the wage ceiling adjustments and the biennial.
Right. Chief Manager at NIB, Pandora Butler.
Yes.
Hi, Juan. I see it's almost 1 o'clock, and you break for the news with Juan.
You're fine. Go ahead. We'll work it all out.
Okay, good, because this is so very important. This is actually basic to why national insurance exists, not just in the Bahamas, but around the world. Okay, so we want to talk first about the two biennial adjustments. The first one, I'll just start off with the ceiling increase. You would have known that in the 2010 amendments, it was provided that starting in 2012 was when it went to 600 in 2014, and every 2 years thereafter, there would be adjustments to the wage ceiling and to pensions and payment. Both of these were aimed at maintaining parity between the income that a person earns and their benefits at the end of the day or in the short term. And so both of these are, neither one, I should say, is for the sustainability of the fund per se. There were other amendments that address that. These two are to maintain relevance to the workers of the country. And so now let me talk about the adjustments to the wage ceiling. And I like to give analogies, and you could stop me at any point, but I really need people to understand what this is all about. Again, I say it's germane to why we exist. So consider that a commercial insurance company insures your car, your house, your boat, your jewelry, and it insures them against certain contingencies or certain risks. It collects premiums for that so that at the end of the day, you get a portion of it should something happen to it. The ideal is that you will insure your house, your car, whatever it is you're insuring for the full value of that thing, right? And so that is, you insure it for the full value so that if something happens to it, you get a benefit, you get something from the insurance company that's reasonable, that makes sense to you, that could help you perhaps put a down payment on your house, your car, whatever it is. So it has to make sense at the end of the day. And so you want to insure it for the full value. National insurance, Social Security, also insures something, a commodity. It also provides coverage, but where it's your house or your boat or your car for commercial insurances, for social insurance, it is, simply put, your ability to get up in the morning or whenever it is you get up and go to work. It insures your ability to work. And it insures your ability to work not against fires, floods, theft, collision, but against specified risks like sickness, like on-the-job injuries, advanced age, death of a breadwinner, loss of income. Did I say industrial injury? All those things are risks that have been identified. And those are the things that the Social Security program insures. Now, similar to the commercial insurance and what they do is the need in social insurance for you to insure your ability to earn an income for the full value or as close to the full value as possible. You with me?
I am. We're going to have to pause, though.
Exactly.
Can I get you?
That's what I say.
No problem. We're going to call you back before the end of the news, and this is actually quite important. And so we're going to talk a bit more about it, okay? So stay tuned. Or actually, we're going to let you go. We're going to call you back. Stay right by that phone, and we'll be right back after the news, okay?
Thank you, Juan.
Thank you.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good-for-nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
COVID-19 et voyage. Si ou gen plan pour voyager, rete informé sur conseil voyage qui a sorti dans le ministère Affaires étrangères. Asiyo ki ou lave men ou souvan epi mette disponib yon ti bouteille disinfectant ak ti serviette disinfectant. Kenbe distans ou avek moun ki ap tousé e esternye. Evite manye zye ou, ne ou ak bouchou. Sa ka ede poteje ou kont COVID-19 ak lot maladi respiratoa.
Mesaj sa, rive jwenn ou, grâce à Minister Santé nan Bahamas, ansanm ak Radio Guardian.
It's the beginning of the hurricane season and Fidelity Bank is giving you one less thing to worry about. We're not able to control a storm or its path, but we can prepare for it as much as possible. With every debt consolidation loan, Fidelity is giving away fully loaded hurricane kits valued at $200 with all the hurricane essentials you'll need to weather the unexpected storms of life. It's that easy. Sign up for a debt consolidation loan, open an ASU savings or fixed deposit, and walk away with a free hurricane kit. At Fidelity, we're committed to helping you through these difficult times. Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We are joined again by the Director of National Insurance Board, Dr. Nicola Virgil Roll, and the Chief Manager at the National Insurance Board, Pandora Butler. Now, welcome back, ladies. Before the break, Pandora was explaining why there is a wage ceiling increase, and it has to do with securing the stability of the fund. Correct? Are they there? Are they on air, or am I talking to myself?
Okay, hi.
Oh, you hear me now? Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, it has nothing to do with the sustainability of the fund.
No, nothing. Okay, gotcha.
It has everything to do with maintaining relevance to the individual worker.
Okay.
As I was saying before, in commercial and social insurance, the ideal is to cover for the full value, is to have coverage for the full value of whatever it is you're covering. if not the full value, then as close to the full value as possible. So
I kind of got stability to the fund from that, but that's just me.
No, that's not the stability of the fund. That has only to do with the worker. So then, at June 30th of this year, and we're getting into the adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
As of June 30th of this year, every person who earned $670 or less had full coverage. That is, the full value of their ability to earn an income was covered. Full value. So then when they got a benefit, it was based on their full $670, if that's what they were making, $500, $400, etc. Per week.
All right.
$670 was the ceiling per week. It's $2,903 per month.
Gotcha.
So whenever I talk about contributions, I'll be talking about weeks. But they were fully covered. But of course, there are persons, and there have been persons down through the years, whose income earnings exceed whatever the current ceilings were.
Right.
And so you will remember, I've talked about this before, I've lamented this before, where ceilings were static and were static for many, many years, which mm-hmm. was never the intent. When we started out, it was 110 per week. And that stayed there for 10 years, and then it went to 250, stayed there for 15 years. Then it went to 400, stayed there for 11 years. And then the actuary stepped in and said, you know what, this can't go on like this. We have to really make incremental changes to the ceiling so that people are covered in a timely manner.
Gotcha.
And so this came about, 2010 amendment was approved, and I go back to June of this year, June 30th. The ceiling was at that point $670. And so people who earned $670 or less were fully covered, but those who made $700, $900, $1,000 are not fully covered. And so their benefits mean less to them, have less impact to them than if they were able to cover more or all of their earnings. You with me?
I got you, 100%.
Okay, good. Yeah. And so those people who start to say things like, why are they going up again? Why are they causing such financial hardship on the poor people? I want them to understand that this will not impact you. If you earn only $210 a week, this will not impact you. If you earn $600 a week, it will not impact you. It will impact only persons who are the higher wage earners, so that is more than $670 per week. And so the ceiling has been increased or adjusted to $710 per week.
$710
per week is a jump of $40. But it translates, and I could actually give you those figures, it doesn't translate to a whole lot of money in the short term.
That's a
monumental impact on you at the end of your work life. Now, what did you say?
That's a whole $4 extra a month, eh?
No, it's not.
No?
Your math a little off.
I was going with the 10%, but okay, it'll help them out.
10%? Where did you get 10%? $40 is 10% of $670?
It's a $40 increase, so I guess a 10% of $40 would be four extra dollars, but why is my math off if the contribution is...
Oh, I don't know. Well, listen, let me just tell you. We're talking about the benefit, the contributions, and remember who pays the contributions? Those split
mm-hmm.
between the employer and the employee.
Right.
We can't forget that. And so I've actually worked it out. Hold on, I will tell you right now what it is. And so you're only talking about $710 per week or $3,077 per month. So a person who makes that $710, remember now, when we talk about moving from $670 to $710, doesn't mean everybody's going to jump to $710, does it?
No.
There will be people who make $675.
Right.
So they insure $5 more.
I gotcha.
There'll be people who make $700. They insure $30 more. And so it's incremental increases. So we don't just jump right to the higher amount. But even if we're looking at those figures, and you're talking about, I want to find you the actual figures. I put it in there, 4.8%, 490, where is that? We're talking about, my math is just as bad as yours, Juan. But if you're talking about 3.9% of that $4, $40, what are you talking about? A dollar something a month. $1.56 a week for the employed person.
For them, their contribution is going to be $1.50 a week.
More, yeah.
Right, but the employer is going to have to cough up some more too.
Just a little bit more.
Yeah.
Here's this 5.9%. Just a little bit more, but remember what that's doing for the employer. That employer now doesn't have to pay you as much when you get sick because you may have sick leave with pay. He doesn't have to pay you as much. When you're having a baby, he doesn't have to pay you as much because now NIB is forking out a bit more.
Okay, so we're talking about $1.50 extra if you're making up to $7.10.
Yes.
All right. And so
and we're talking about incrementally smaller if you're making less. So the wage ceiling is incredibly important because it determines your benefits at the end of the day. I keep saying to people, sickness benefits, maternity benefits, they're not as important. What is important, Juan, is when you reach the end of your work life.
Mm-hmm.
You can no longer work because you're too old to work or too sick to work. That is when this wage ceiling becomes important to you. That is when, that's the difference between insuring $250 or $400 or $670 or $710.
Okay.
That's the big difference.
Gotcha. I'm pretty sure my math was right, by the way. So.
Yeah, you could be right, but I was thinking okay. In terms of weeks, and that's why I said to you, whenever I talk about contributions, I'm talking about weeks.
Gotcha.
All right, so I'm talking about weeks. Weeks easier to understand because everything is broken down into weeks anyway.
Okay.
So that's the insurable ceiling, and that's why that is so important. And it's based on, you know, we always tell you what it's based on, the change in the retail price index over the previous 2 years. Previous 2 years being 2018 and 2019.
Gotcha.
That was a cumulative inflation rate of 4.80. So we get the new ceiling from that 4.80 plus 2%.
I gotcha.
And now, that's how we come up with that.
Let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
Why can't I contribute as much as I want?
Good question. And that was a question the National Insurance Board in 1996. We asked Bahamians. We had an all Bahamians, all Bahamas survey. And we asked that question, and believe it or not, the majority of Bahamians said exactly what you're asking. They said, I prefer you to just cover whatever I make.
Right.
But that's a problem, not just because you made it. See, now you can't be schizophrenic on me, Juan. You just said, but the employer has to pay. He has to fork out so much.
I didn't say that's a problem. I'm just saying that's the reality.
But aha, so I bring you to that reality, which is a problem. Because employers don't want to fork out more because you want to cover more.
But,
and so it's a tight rope that we walk.
No,
we
what I'm saying is the employer could cover what's mandated by law, but if I want to cover
my entire
salary, why can't I?
Good question, because we're Social Security. We're minimum standard. We're minimum standard law. This provides a safety net for you. If you want over and above, nobody stop you from running out to one of the commercial insurers. They have pension packages.
Okay.
Social Security cannot afford to be all things to all people.
I gotcha.
It has to leave room for private enterprise. And
okay.
So we will do the minimum. Well, even our minimum is incredibly generous. But we don't want to push other providers out of the market. And so we provide for the average person. And we figure now our executive who's in charge of actuary will tell you how many persons. We still have a small group now after this 710 adjustment, a smaller group who are still not fully covered. But we have the majority of workers covered. And so the cover more would come outside of the realm of Social Security. And we have to be, that's our mandate, to be a safety net, not above and beyond, a safety net. You want above and beyond, you can pay for that.
Okay. Now, I want to ask you about, because we have a lot of questions about that, but we only got so much space to discuss it.
Right.
I want to ask you about the increase in the pension benefit.
Absolutely. Excellent. And we usually lead with this because this is a good one. this is why we exist as well. This is for persons who've reached the end of their work lives. They're now reaping the benefits of having paid contributions over the years. Their contributions is a set amount. They're on fixed income, as you will hear them talk about when they talk about Social Security. And for many years, that fixed amount was all they got. But it was recognized, again, by NIB itself. Our actuary said, you know what? Over time, these pensions are losing their value. Remember I talked about value?
Right.
The value to the person. So over time, the dollar that they got in 2000 as pension can't buy the same bread, sardine, cream in 2020. And so we have to make allowances for the impact of inflation on this person's dollar. And that's what the adjustments do. And the adjustments, they're hand in hand, the ceiling and the adjustments to pensions, and we call them pensions and payments. And when we say pensions and payments, we're talking about all pensions, and a pension is simply something that you get every month. So it's a benefit, and it's the assistance. And so there are increases, and that increase is along the same lines as those of the wage ceiling. It's based on the cumulative inflation over the previous 2 years, over 2018, 2019, which I said was 4.80. So persons will get up to, and remember now I'm saying up to, not everybody will get 4.80% added to their pensions in payment.
Why doesn't
not everybody? Because not everybody suffered the same rate of inflation. So someone who only got their pension 3 months ago will not have suffered 4.8% inflation. You with me?
I got you.
So anybody who's had their pension for less than 2 years, they will get incrementally smaller increases. A person 2 years or more, that's 2018 and 2019, will have suffered the full 2 years inflation, so they will get the full 4.8% added to their pensions and payment. Again, we're talking about retirement survivors invalidity, then we're talking about old age pension, survivors assistance, invalidity assistance, and we're also talking about disablement benefits. In addition to that, everybody will know that whenever we increase pensions and payments, we also increase the grants, the two grants. The two grants are the maternity grant and the funeral grant. The maternity grant, very, very, we're happy about this. The maternity grant, and that's because we like to encourage people to have as many babies as they can. So we're changing the maternity grant, and I'm trying to find the maternity grant, as you know, used to be 470, and the director's trying to find it for me right here. I thought I had it right here.
I gotcha. I'm glad y'all encouraging people to have babies, because I haven't no more. I ain't going to
need maternity. Need as many babies as possible so they can keep you in a pension fund.
Right.
Because we ain't having enough to replace you.
We need to replenish the fund, right?
Two in replacement. You need another one to give us a little cushion to pay you your big benefits. If you're from Saudi Lucha, you can live long.
Right.
And you can be a big drain on our system, so you can need about two or three more children.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, two or three more children. The rest, I printed it out. Here it is. I'm sorry. Maternity grant was $490. It is now $515, and that's for each live birth. So if you have four children, oversport yourself, have quadruplets, you'll get four times $515. And then the funeral grant, this is a really good increase. From $1,810 to $1,900.
Oh, that's nice.
And yeah, it's a really good increase. And in addition to the increases in pensions, as you know, national insurance has a minimum benefit payable, even an assistance, minimum benefit payable under which we will not go. So if we work out and we calculate, for example, your retirement benefit, and retirement is based on two factors. The number of contributions you paid, the average amount on which you paid over the best 5 years ever. If when we calculate that, your pension work out to $100 a month, and trust me, there are people who paid so little that they could easily work out to $100, $200. But NIB has says, no, we're not going to pay anybody less than this amount.
Mm.
And so previously, the amount, the least that you could get for retirement, let's look at retirement awarded at age 65. The least you could get was $321.36 a month, but that's been increased to $336.79. Similarly, the assistances have gone up. The assistance used to be $273.74. It's now $286.87. And so every 2 years, those are increased so that people could buy the same amount of bread and tuna and all those things that they could buy when they first got their benefit.
Okay, let me ask you this. The $50 that they said was going to be added to all old-age pensioners that Peter Turnquist said was happening, when is that kicking in?
Okay, my director is here, and she'll have to address that. Understand, though, that's not a part of the biennial increase.
I got
the
you.
The biennial increase came out of 2010.
Absolutely.
So the director could address that.
Yeah. Okay. So for those payments, we're still working with the Ministry of Finance on that, and as soon as we get further direction, we will be working on those to add those into the system. Those are for the assistances, old age non-contributory pension.
Gotcha. Now let me ask you this: there was we'd asked the minister if that would apply to persons with disability as well, because they're pretty much in the same circumstance. They're dependent on others. Will it, or has that not come down yet?
No, we haven't gotten any policy direction there.
But Ron, I have a question. What is a person with disabilities? What does that mean?
Like blind, wheelchair.
And so you're talking about invalidity benefit?
Yeah.
Well, when she talks about the assistance, remember I just said invalidity assistance, old age pension, and survivor's assistance.
Right. Well, I get that, but the $50 specifically was what I was asking.
Well, I think
about.
The director said that she's talking about the assistance.
Mm-hmm.
And so those three that I just listed are assistance payments.
So you believe that would apply to all of them, technically?
We'll get further clarity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We'll get further clarity. All right, great. So we're getting, some people will get, there's a little bit of an increase in fees, and then a lot of other people are getting an increase in payments.
Yeah, well, we can safely say that everyone who has a pension in payment will be an increase. And let me just add, every year, it takes us a while to make adjustments on the system. So every 2 years, every year that this happens, people are paid in October. So nobody ought to panic because they are accustomed to this. It's paid in October. And of course, it will be paid retroactive to July.
Gotcha. My final question for you is this. Verification for pension, for other stuff, is that... That's been postponed during the emergency orders, yes?
Yeah. So, you know, we realize that, you know, one of the major activities that we do each period for persons is proof of life verifications. And certainly COVID didn't provide an environment that was safe for our elder clients to come out. And so we made the decision to postpone that for a bit. We wouldn't be adjusting or suspending pension payments because of that. We did provide options for other means of doing this. So you could, send in an email, and many people have sent in emails to verification@nib-bahamas.com in order to verify that way. But, we have other means of certainly looking at proof of life issues. And for the other types of verifications that are necessary, we have been accepting those by email. And we will announce the date when we are readying our offices to open to the public for broader face-to-face interactions. But we encourage really emailing of our forms to the email addresses that are on our contact sheet on our website.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Juan, this is a good time to plug the online access, eh? Because persons who are in receipt of retirement benefits specifically are able once a year to verify online through that portal. So there's no need for the face-to-face interaction.
They can verify through okay, excellent.
And this is another point I like to push. This shows us the great need for everybody to start now using bank accounts. We don't want people, we started in 2006 discouraging people from walking in to collect checks. Sadly, there are still people doing that. And so we need people to take it seriously, open your bank accounts. They wouldn't have had so many challenges collecting their benefits, particularly your pension, if you had bank accounts. So we want them to begin now to fill out those direct deposit forms so that their money's going forward. Because people keep throwing around that phrase, new normal. Going forward, our new normal has to focus more on technology rather than face-to-face interaction.
Right. I don't know how, anyway. I hate that phrase, new normal. It's just,
yeah, I hate it as
right.
well.
If it's
I
normal,
hate
it's normal.
Well.
Right, yeah, you know, it doesn't
I
make
too.
Sense.
I too, yeah, I too.
So I just got a final question. Let me, and I actually don't know the answer to this. It's not obvious to me, so that's why I'm asking. It says, good afternoon. After making NIB contributions for about 45 years mm-hmm. and the individual died prior to retirement, does the contribution remain in NIB's fund or would those funds be paid out to the beneficiary of the deceased?
Okay, yeah, that question, Director, that question speaks to the heart, again, of Social Security. That person, it speaks to the heart of Social Security and speaks to the heart of insurance, generally. If my house never burns down, what happens? There's no payout. You get a benefit from Social Security when you meet the condition for a specific benefit. So if in that person's 40 years work life, he never got sick, never got injured, none of the threats or risk happened to him, then he will not get a benefit. The question as to what happens to his money is what happens to everybody's money. Because what we can do is ask on the flip side of that, what if he lives 40 years after he retires? Say he retires at 60, and I see people living to 102, 103. We had one at my church. So she was getting a benefit, and she got a retirement for 40 years. So what happens after the first 2 or 3 years we go to Grammy House, knock on the door, and tell her she got to stop living? We can't do that. We have to continue to pay off. So they go hand in hand. And so if they die without ever claiming, the benefit is there should they have dependent survivors. The dependent survivors can get the benefit. Then there's the funeral benefit. But that's it. For him, certainly that's it, because he's not there to claim anything. But that's the nature of insurance. It speaks to the heart of what Social Security does. It's for persons who need it, when they need it, and can satisfy the conditions for it.
Okay, I got 1,000 questions for you, but I can only get to a few, so many. It says, I fall into the category of persons whose salary exceeds the 710 in the new ceiling.
Yes.
During this pandemic, I've received only 310 per week in benefit, not the 335, half of 670 I was due. Can you please ask for clarification?
Well, we would have to look at the specifics there. It's calculated also on your average salary in some cases. And so, you know, our system would look at the average. If we don't know the circumstances there, whether the salary was just increased, it's not a point in time. And so we would, you know, just ask you to email us so that, you know, we can look at your situation and then give you a more in-depth understanding of the benefit.
Yeah.
But our goal is to pay our benefits correctly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's what we're here to do.
Juan, I had a similar question, and actually there was a gentleman downstairs this morning who makes more than 900, and he had a similar complaint. And I, as I've done in the past over the week, I've asked for email addresses, and I've sent to them their contribution statement so that they could actually see what contributions are being paid for them. Because sometimes they say, okay, I make this amount, but then we don't get that amount. And so they look at the contribution statement and are able to make the adjustments or corrections, because our system automatically will pay 50% of your average over, as the directors say, their test periods over that period.
What's the period?
The period is, as everyone knows, 7 in the last 13. So if you lose your job on the 1st of March, it'll be count back 13 weeks from the 1st of March, and we have to find 7 in there. Count back as well 26 weeks, and we have to find at least 13 in there.
Gotcha.
Whichever one of those returns, the higher average is the one we will use. We have to use both. We have to test both. That's to determine if you have current contributions or current income to replace. But whichever one returns the higher average is the one we will use.
Question. Do we pay out pensions based on your best 5 years of work?
Absolutely. If you're talking about benefits.
Yeah.
Remember now, retirement, invalidity, survivors, they're all calculated the same way. The number of contributions you paid in your lifetime gives you a percentage. A percentage anywhere from 30% to 60%. So if you paid the minimum, which is the 10 years or 500, you will be entitled to 30% of your average insured income. How do we determine your average insured income? Your average over the best 5 years of contributing. So that's at any point. But of course, because the ceiling has been increasing over the years, generally, if you just stop working, your best 5 should be your most recent 5. But that's how the benefits are calculated, absolutely.
Okay. So let me ask you this. The fact that, and this is legit my final question. You've been very patient. I know you got stuff to do.
No, we appreciate getting this word out, Juan.
Right.
We appreciate
you. Okay, great.
So if you want to keep us here this evening, be good.
Okay. So...
We're getting in a lot of emails as you speak, but the one thing we ask is that you include your NIB number as well, because there may be many of you with the same name. So
yeah.
If you can do that, we can answer you quicker.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's UEBResolution@NIB-Bahamas.com. Mm-hmm. All right. So this is my question. The Prime Minister says that the jitney drivers can now operate, right? And he says that the straw vendors can now operate at the end of the month. I won't get into how absurd these striation of timelines are, but, and he says the jet ski operators can now operate at the end of the month. So I'm a jet ski operator. I'm a straw vendor. Are you going to stop paying me after the date that I am supposed to be able to go back to work? Or how does that work?
Well, as part of the new portal, we're going to ask you to attest whether you've gone back to work or not. And so your payments will be dependent on that attestation, which should be truthful. Of course, for self-employed people, you know, they should be paying NIB contributions when they have wages and have income. And so, you know, it relies on honesty. And so if you've gone back to work, you should attest to that, and then your assistance will cease.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much, Dr. Nicola Virgil Rowe, NIB Director, and Pandora Butler, Chief Manager at NIB. You guys have given me a world of clarity on a lot of these things, and I do appreciate your time.
Thank you, Juan.
And we thank you, Juan, for giving us this audience. Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely. Take care. All right. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back. We'll deal with some other issues with the rest of the time we got. Stay tuned.
It's all about Popeyes and their amazing, unbeatable, everyday deal.
For $10.49,
choose the new boneless box or Louisiana box.
The new boneless box gives you two enjoyable boneless options with six juicy boneless wings,
two crispy tenders,
Cajun fries,
a buttermilk biscuit,
and a 21-ounce drink.
Crazy, right?
That's not all.
Grab the new $18.99 family box for dinner,
or simply bites with friends.
Four-piece chicken,
four tenders,
four biscuits,
and a family fry.
Prices are VAT-inclusive.
Time to check out Janae Chesapeake Rowe's annual 20% off back-to-school sale going on now. Lots of savings. Don't miss Janae's Chesapeake Rowe's annual 20% off back-to-school sale.
Everyone loves the classic flavor of chicken and waffles. Now you can have it for breakfast at Burger King Nassau. Enjoy a juicy, lightly breaded chicken patty served between two sweet, warm waffles and a side of syrup that makes a sweet and savory breakfast sandwich you can have on the go. Add Burger King's signature coffee and hash browns, and you have a great way to start your day. The chicken and waffle breakfast sandwich is here at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king. Burger King Nassau is now open at 6 a.m.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good. Excuse me. Gee. Coughing. I hope it's not the Rona. So good to have you with us. I'll take a drink of water. I'm sorry. All right. We were talking NIB before, and before that we were talking Baker's Bay. And all those antecedent issues. We'll try to deal with some text messages. I see all your NIB text messages. I'm sorry I couldn't get to them all. It says, morning, great show as usual. You can also call us if you want. 323-6232 with the time we have left. 325-4316, 325-4316, and 325-4259, 325-4259. Morning, great show. You should have put on a sombrero to do the show with some Mexican junglist music on. during the break or in the background of the show. It says, Bahamians are not lazy. We just take long lunch breaks, but we're far from lazy. Okay. It says, have more kids. Juan, y'all ain't serious about that. I ain't trying to have no more kids, player. I'm ready to get the snip. I'm not going to lie to you. I was telling a friend of mine that, and he's like, well, you can't do that. I was like, why? He said, well, what's something happen to your wife? Well, you're married. You get married again. You know, she can want at least one with you to lock it down. I said, well, I'm not getting married again. So this right here has to work. And if it don't, you know, I gave it a shot. But that's it. I'm not trying to have any more kids. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
Hi. I have a question on the furlough, if it's not too late.
It's too late for NIB to answer it, but I could try to help you.
Okay, please. Okay. I'm treasurer for a church, and we had an employee, and we had to furlough him with the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Now that we have started a reopening process, we need to have somebody to do the job, a small part of the job that he was doing. And I'm wondering if it's legal for me to hire him for one day a week to do the job rather than getting a new employee. And if I do hire him for one day a week, would it interfere with his benefit at NIB?
Boy, that is a good question. Stay on the line. Give my producer your name and number, and I'm going to try to figure it out for you, okay? And see if I can get the information
for you.
All right.
Thank you so much. I do appreciate.
All right. Thanks a lot. Yeah, I wouldn't pretend to know the answer to that. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Did she hang up? You missed. Ma'am, you hung up. So you got to stay on the line for me to get the information for you, but directly to you, because I can't promise you that I'll remember specifically to address it in another show. So see if you can call back. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, good afternoon, Juan. How you doing, bro?
I'm good, man. How's it going?
Hey, I'm good, man. Very good segment on with the NIB people.
Thanks.
Sorry, you wasn't able to take calls. I had a few questions I wanted to ask him myself. But nonetheless, as it relates to this Baker's Bay deal, Juan, I missed that part of the show, but I just wanted to add two comments on it.
Sure.
Okay, great. First and foremost, Dr. Marshall is in the news. He was in the news shortly after the press conference, stating that he's in possession of the PCR gold standard COVID-19 test for the purported 300 Mexicans, right?
Mm-hmm. However, well, it's 130.
Okay, to be accurate, 130, right?
Yeah.
But that makes no difference. That's neither here nor there,
right?
Because those Mexican laborers should not have entered into our country without presenting the COVID-19 test, first and foremost, uploading their test results. They should not have entered into the country without receiving the health passport from the Ministry of Health.
Right.
And so they have broken the law.
No.
What are you saying, Juan?
No, they did have a negative COVID-19 test. They did get the health visa. They do have work permits. The Ministry of Health just was clueless as to the fact that they presented all that. Which is scary.
Have you seen these records?
I can confirm that they had COVID -19 tests and that they were submitted to the Ministry of Health.
Because the chief medical officer stated that they were already conducting investigations into that matter, apparently.
And that should scare you. She does not know that. And
no,
I was able to confirm that. But you're starting off from a... But no, stop. Slow down, Anton. I'm trying to help you. You developed a political narrative. I'm trying to help you before you go off on the wrong tangent. Your energy's focused in the wrong area.
I hear you.
They did have COVID -19 tests. They would not have been allowed to even board that plane without the health visa. They had all that. They presented all that when they came. The Ministry of Health just was clueless as to that happening, which should frighten you, because it is the Ministry of Health who has to give them the authorization to come. They did,
okay,
but yet the people at the top of the ministry did not know. That is the frightening part.
I hear you, Juan. All I am saying is, based upon what the chief medical officer said, and she acknowledged that they're doing investigations, but she said, beyond a shadow of doubt, that they did not present negative COVID-19 tests.
She didn't say that.
Into the country.
She did not say that.
In her interview with Eyewitness News.
I'm not going off Eyewitness News. I'm going off what she said during the press conference, and I'm going off what I know. All right? I know that they have COVID negative.
I agree and disagree with you on that part of it, one. However, like you said, if these people had this information, I trust that the chief medical officer is protecting her integrity. I trust that the coordinator for the National COVID-19 program, Dr. Dot Regis, is protecting her integrity as well. And until I hear that from those two individuals, I don't trust anything else coming out of the ministry. Thank you very much, Juan. God bless.
I hear you. I mean, you have reason to doubt the efficacy of the ministry, certainly. But I'm here to tell you that my inquiries have left me satisfied beyond the shadow of a doubt that the proper procedure was followed. Now, that they don't know that is frightening to me, but I'm not going to push a false narrative out here. Like, they snuck these Mexican workers in and nobody knew and all this. I've you know, come on. Like, I can't get along. I can't dwell in the same space as you because I'm not ignorant to how this all played out. So I can be, if you weren't listening since last year when they said they were bringing these people in, when the owner of Baker's Bay said they needed to bring the people in, when Ellsworth Johnson said they had a request for hundreds of these foreign workers to come in, when Ellsworth Johnson came in on the show and said it, when Ellsworth Johnson said it in the House of Assembly, when the Prime Minister said it, when I believe it was D'Agler who may have said it as well, that you're surprised doesn't mean that it was a surprising event. Like, you know what I mean? So I cannot follow your narrative. And I listened very intently to the press conference as to what was said and what was not said. I edited the newspaper stories as to exactly what was said in the press conference and double-checked the quotations. I don't know what she said on Eyewitness News. I can't speak for Eyewitness News. I can speak for the Nassau Guardian, whose reputation for reporting accurately I will put my head on the chopping block for. Okay? I can't do that for Eyewitness News. So I'm trying to have a broader conversation than I'm mad Mexicans came in here. I can be mad if I would have known from September that they wanted these guys to come. So I can't be mad with you. I can't be mad saying, oh, they snuck them in here. Because they didn't sneak in. It's the definition of sneaking someone in isn't boarding them on a Bahamas airplane and bringing them in. I can't be mad when you're mad about them breaking the law when no law was broken. So, and I also can't have you putting that combo out there and be intellectually honest about it. Do I think this administration does a lot of nonsense? Absolutely. Am I unhappy that we haven't elevated Bahamian laborers to the point where we don't need to bring in this many people to do a particular job? Yes. But I'm not going to pitch a fit and fall on the ground and be like, these Mexicans are here. And it's if y'all want to do that, that's fine. I'm not there with that. Because I've been reading up on it for months. That's like me, you know what I mean? Being mad about something that they announced. Oh, why this road closed? When they've been telling me for 6 months, and it's been almost a year now, that the road's going to close. Like, they've been saying these guys are going to come. For real. I really don't understand, like, where some of y'all... I don't understand how a lot of you don't read, don't pay attention, and then when events happen, you get angry, but don't bother to actually go and get the information. Like, if we're going to be on the radio and be outraged, let's be armed with the facts. Let's be outraged about what the facts are. Right? And if the facts are outrageous, then sure, we could go from there. But is there such a word as snuck? Yeah, snuck. it's the past tense of sneak. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hi, Juan.
Hey, how's it going?
Fine. I missed the email that the lady from National Insurance gave.
Sure. Let me
for
you
verification.
Got a pen? I don't know what the email is for verification. I think you go on the website for verification, to the portal.
What is that?
It's nib-bahamas.com.
Okay.
All right.
Because I thought she said you could send an email. And secondly, she also said that the minimum benefit was 320-something, but I get just over 317, so that's kind of confusing for me.
I'm not sure.
I think she said, I caught that part, I just didn't catch the email or whatever she said.
I think she said it's going to increase to three. I think she said it's increasing to 320 something.
No, that was after she spoke with the increase. She said the minimum is this, and then some people were getting two something, but I probably in the three something. But she said the minimum of the three something was 320 something. But I guess that's on the bridge under. I mean under the water now.
Okay, so hold on, listen to me.
Okay.
It's verification, someone sent it to me, it's verification
right.
at nib-bahamas.com.
Okay, it's verification at nib-bahamas.com. Okay, I got you, because I know she's had an email address you can do.
Yeah.
Okay, and my final thing is just a quick saying that I think that the aim is build better for our area than the Mexicans.
Yeah, I would say so too. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
I would want
Bahamians to for ourselves to be being in the hurricane zone, you know. But
right, so they're saying that they wanted these special permits, and they've promised the government that they're doing Bahamian labor. And but I think we could have a broader conversation about foreigners and foreign labor in our country.
Uh-huh.
But in this instance, I'm not going to act ignorant. I know better.
Yeah, I understand.
Right?
But
I don't like foreigners coming in either. But
we can build better. They want to say we are lazy, but anyhow, that's 100%.
Well, that's crazy to say Bahamians are
crazy.
Lazy, and so you're hiring foreign. But that doesn't make any sense.
No.
Right? That's nonsense to say that that's why you're hiring these foreigners. Okay.
All right, I wish I had gotten you while she was on, because I really wanted to verify that, because I felt like I was behind with that contribution benefits anyway, and I know the increase is coming, but. When I was increased 2 years ago, I went to 370, just over 317, but she said it was 326 or something like that, she said, was the minimum, and that's not so, because even some people got higher than that. But anyway,
Thanks a lot. Says, hi, Juan. The situation is not that the Mexicans are here. I think many persons thought that the unemployed Bahamians would get those jobs along with the Mexicans, to the point that such employment would be benefiting the Bahamian workforce more, especially with the work being in the Bahamas. Well, from what I'm told, they are hiring Bahamians. They're looking for different sorts of jobs for Bahamians, and these are specific for them. And I don't hold no brief for Baker's Bay, right? I don't want to see Bahamians displaced. But I'm not convinced that that's what's happening, right? So for me to spin the narrative that these are all particular jobs that they could have found for Bahamians to do when there was absolutely no need for them to bring them in here, I don't know that to be the case. And so I can't have that sort of discussion without knowing what the hell I'm talking about. And that's what I hear a lot of. I hear a lot of people not knowing what the hell they're talking about, but building an entire line of rhetoric behind it. And you may think that's what I do, but it's not. I know what the hell I'm talking about when I get upset about stuff. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Pleasant. Good afternoon, Juan. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Not too bad, man. Thanks for asking. Juan, I have a question for you. Have you personally seen the test?
I'm not going to go into that, but I'm going to say we've confirmed that they had the COVID negative test.
So here's
so you'll just have to accept that from me or not. It's up. That's on you.
And it's a difference between if it were you may have a little lie, the fellas that may say on the street, some credibility, right? It is difficult for the average Bahamian to give any administration, I'm not just talking about this one, the benefit of the doubt when time and time again they conduct these cloak and dagger operations.
I don't give them the benefit of the doubt ever.
But do you see what I'm saying?
I totally understand.
Right, but here's something else. I heard you say just now about pushing you're not interested in perpetrating any false narratives, right?
Right.
But you did. And this isn't an attack on you. But one, here's the thing. When you talk about the shame being in, or our shortfall being in not elevating the skills or the skill set of Bahamians in the construction industry, one, I got to tell you, that's a fallacy. It's the same thing like our hotels, where they say that they need people from all around the world to run restaurants and to run hotels in our banking industries and in so many other industries where Bahamians are the ones doing the work. So that's a false narrative. And we know the tricks that these people play, the prerequisites for work, which the people that they bring in anyway don't even come close to meeting. That's a false narrative, Juan.
No, I don't. Because it doesn't make sense. Because you're talking about, you're generalizing different issues, right?
But
into one issue.
But
it's not the same thing.
How is it not? Explain that to me. When I'm saying to you now, Juan,
an issue of a Bahamian being able to let's look at casinos, right? So because I can separate things and I can nuance out things, right? So
if
you say a Bahamian, there's no job in a hotel that a Bahamian cannot do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say to you, I totally agree.
Okay.
Right? That's fine.
Yeah.
If you say to me, there's no job in construction that a Bahamian cannot do, that's not the truth.
But Juan, that is not, I never said that as it relates to the construction thing. What I'm saying is the issuances of labor certificates and work permits, everybody in this country knows from time immemorial, Juan, and it's been proven time and time again that there are games that folks play, the owners of these properties themselves, and sometimes in some of the government ministries that exclude Bahamians from work that they are qualified and competent to perform. Is that not a reality in our society and the Bahamas one?
That's a reality, but you're using this situation to say that you're angry about that. And I don't know. I don't think that this fits that same thing. You'd have to show me more information. Because a lot of people seem to be grasping at straws. They go, well, did you see the COVID-19 test? Could you tell? Listen, we did our investigation as a national newspaper, and we are satisfied that they had COVID-19 negative test results, that they had the travel visa, and that the Ministry of Health did receive them. And we're satisfied. If you are not, and I don't understand how there could be any talk on this station otherwise, when all you got to do is go read the Nassau Guardian's lead story today. So to the extent that anyone has pushed that was the case, that they broke any law, they didn't have anything like this on this station, that should not have happened. We got to go, all right? So you guys have a great weekend, and you take care out there, Bahamas. National Pride Day. Wear some Bahamian colors.